showtime.
It is showtime. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome here for a special debate episode because it went viral all around the world. Before we start with that, ladies and gentlemen, this is the host of DB's What I've Been here with my other host, Mi Familia, the greatest faction of all time. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. And I have, of course, Mr. De Niro. Well, dinero, porque it's all about the money, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about el dinero.
Yes, sir.
It takes you back in time. Like this video will speak itself.
You're going to see some serious shit.
That's right, because he does take in time in the DeLorean, because that's why he's the Wrestling DeLorean podcast, and also the host as well here on Circle Debate. Mike De Niro, ladies and gentlemen.
What's good, everybody? We had a format for the show today, but the world melted down, and we got to talk all about it.
Hell has frozen over in the world of professional wrestling. And then joining us, who's going to be discussing this topic, of course, he is the cycle of all cycles, especially from Philadelphia, but we love Philly. We love Philly, ladies and gentlemen.
We love Philly.
Oh, yeah.
We love Philly.
Fuck yeah.
He is the C-O-M of podcasting, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, let me play his intro because it is, of course, the Cycle South Philly talk.
It's contractual.
Let's fucking go. That's now, right.
Man, I just want to like toss the computer and fucking put someone through a table.
Right? I'm gonna put myself through the table I'm sitting at listening to that shit. What's good, fellas? Yeah, I understand what you mean. I had a rundown. You know, you guys were on top rope just earlier today, so now you're doing the whole Iron Dom thing that I did with y'all for the week before. And it was like, yeah, we're going to talk about this, that, the other. Vince retired. All right. Let's talk about this.
Who's that? Matt, I don't know who's that. Who's Matt? Who are you? Thank you very much, man. Thank you, random Facebook user.
Shout out Facebook.
Click that link.
It is Ted. That's right. What's going on, Ted?
Teddy.
What's
good?
Teddy. What's going on?
Hello, you doing? Philadelphian. Teddy. Shout out to Rewind.
That's right. Shout out to Rewind Wrestling Network. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you subscribe. That's our league of extraordinary podcast family. We are here today because the announcement was made a couple hours ago. And then when I was reading more into it, which we'll get into it, which, of course, this man made the announcement on Twitter. Said yes at 77. Time for me to retire. Thank you, WWE Universe. Then, now, forever together. And Vince McMahon is officially retires from WWE. So, Vince McMahon,
you're fired.
Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Best of luck in future endeavors, Vince McMahon. As of it was reported, of course, from Fightful and Wrestling Observer, they mentioned Vince McMahon officially retired. But when I was reading more into it, according to the PWI, that this was already planned a week ago. So Vince McMahon already had this plan. He made his decision of retiring. Nobody knew, but only his family. So this is the time that he made that decision that for him to retire. And now, because it was, you know, with all these, you know, allegations and investigations have been going, as of this moment, obviously there's more further deep investigation into it that may cause this to occur for Vince McMahon to be stepping down as CEO and as overall in WWE. And now that those changes have been made, of course, a new era begins. And that is, of course, the McMahon-Helmsley era of Stephanie McMahon and Triple H, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't forget Khan. Not Nick Tony. Khan,
of course. Yeah. But Nick. And, of course, we had Nick Khan as well. As Vince announced, that Nick Khan is also a co-CEO of WWE. And another stories as well that I've just read before we even got on. Of course, this guy is gone. That's right. Yes. Johnny Ace is gone. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, I'll show you his damn picture. And there he is.
People power.
People power. Hey, yeah, people power. He is gone from WWE. So I'm going to play it for one more time. Johnny Ace.
You're fired.
That's right.
No more Johnny sloppy Ace. Seconds for you, Johnny.
No more sloppy seconds for you, Johnny.
Not.
Johnny Ace is gone. And also, as well, Bruce Pritchard will be now taking over as head of creative writing and whatever McMahon duties. Maybe. No, it's already announced. It's already announced.
Was it announced? Okay, yes. Last I saw, he was on the chopping block too, because I right came from now, one live to this one. So.
As the updates are coming in still, as this is still processing, he will be taking over as head of creative moving forward. So he'll be taking over that duties. He will be reporting to Triple H and Stephanie in regards for whatever creative.
Which did not work out in 2008, which is why he left the business.
Well, he got fired because he was trying to load a gun in the arena and scared the shit out of Stephanie.
Yeah, but also he was saying on his podcast, even before that, him and Stephanie never really saw eye to eye creatively.
Nope. And now it's going to get into that. And of course, the other rumor in the window is Kevin Dunn has been rumored to leave WWE because of this situation. So, man, it's just, it's
a
so
lot
much.
To take in.
It's a lot to take in. It's a lot.
It's a ton. I mean, seriously, I was probably picking my wife up from work when Vince announced that he was retiring. And I got all popping up on my phone while I'm driving. I'm like, damn it, don't make me pull over. The fuck is this shit? What's going on now?
What's going on, you know, Anthony?
It's good.
It's right, crash, right here in the middle.
Shout out to what's called. Anthony, he just had a great stream about WrestleMania 2. I was tuned into that in between doing Top Rope and doing this show. So
I got to go back and watch that. Sorry, Anthony. You know,
I got to watch. Yeah, I got
to
watch.
I had some business to take care of, but I'm definitely going to go back and watch that. WrestleMania 2 was definitely. Back.
Oh, yeah. I do like the classic, you know, classroom matches, man. Anthony, hopefully you bring that back with Tyler, man. Those were really fantastic events that you guys had. Fantastic episodes.
Well, that's
absolutely.
And of course, so TK already started his shit, putting, of course,
TK's a troll.
Thank you all, wrestling fans, and a great supporter of AEW. I'm grateful now to be the longest tenured CEO in pro wrestling. Thank you very much, every single person who watches AEW TV. See you Friday night.
Is he though?
TK acts like he's 18 years old, and it's fucking hilarious.
Oh, shit. Yeah, they might want to talk to you, Tony. I'm just saying.
Oh man, yes, absolutely. The tavern, of course, absolutely. Well, till you tune in to Turnbuckle Tavern. Yes, make sure you subscribe to them as well. But gentlemen, man, this is a lot of, you know, what we're taking in. Hell has frozen over in the world of professional wrestling. What is now next for the WWE? I'll start over with you, Mr. DOM. What's next? And what should be, who would you put in each department now? Or who would you want to bring back in each department? Like, head of creative. Who would you put, of course? But we already had Triple H in charge of EVP. But overall, I mean, talk to us, baby. How would you put this?
You know, there's so many different ways you could go, but I really, even if he's not getting fired, I still feel like Bruce Pritchard is operating on borrowed time. Kind of like I thought was borrowed time after the report of having his little fun with a girl and then just, you know, dumping her on Johnny. I figured he was fired. Like, it was just a matter of time. Here we are. Bruce Pritchard, circumstances, same situation. I'm going to go. And there are so many ways you could go with creative. Like, if there's any say in it, why not just bring the NXT guys back? Like the DX, Sean, and Road Dogg, and everything else. Let them take over. You know, I mean, I would say Paul Heyman, but then AJ Styles is gonna throw a fit. Wait, you can't really wrong. I just feel like, but the possibilities that we have like now, as opposed to when I was mourning, are endless. Like what you said, frozen over. Pretty sure a pig fly. This is insane. I thought I was gonna go to my grave and Vince McMahon would still be coming out on SmackDown Day night. So to be in this position is just blowing my mind. And I would definitely like to see them move on from the entire Vince regime. Like Bruce Pritchard, now you gotta go. Kevin Dunn, I like Chris better anyway. Get the fuck out. Sean, Road Dogg, come here. We got cushy jobs again. Come back. They ruined NXT. We're gonna fuck them over for it. Revenge is coming.
Who gets the last laugh, huh?
It ain't Vince.
Oh man. De Niro, talk to me, baby.
Man, I don't know. Where do you want me to start from? The moment I woke up today, I've been getting news. It's like, I thought the news just started and stopped with Triple H getting his EVP job back. And then from there, it was like a domino effect, because then you hear Laurinaitis is gone. Then you hear the ultimate one. You hear Vince McMahon is gone. And I thought that was fake. When that happened, the first thing I did was I saw it. I was like, oh, whatever. Someone just made that shit up, right? And then I was at the supermarket. And I'm seeing, like, I don't know if this is talking too much, like, inside, like, the league business. But I see that the league DMs in Instagram is blowing the fuck up. So I'm like, I just saw this fake post. And now I see this blowing up. Maybe this shit ain't fake. So, like, I stepped to the side in the supermarket. I went on the phone. I Googled it. And I'm like, holy shit. Vince McMahon is gone. And I never thought I'd see the day. And it's crazy because, you know, just like Dom said, I thought for sure, like, I would go to my grave before Vince goes to his grave. I even said if Vince McMahon passed away, he would have somewhere in a contract that he has 50 years of wrestling already written for the next 50 years, and now you have to follow what I wrote before I passed. You know what I mean? Like, it's in the chamber somewhere. Yeah. Open up the vault. That's your creative for the next 50 years. Because
it'd be like Mad Libs. You're like, exactly. Fill-in superstar here runs in on fill-in superstar here.
Exactly. And you know, the thing is, it's like, you know, this was his life. This was his everything. Yeah. Like, you didn't see Vince McMahon outside in the entertainment world or doing anything else. He never had interviews like that. Like, you never heard Vince on a podcast, like, unless it was a WWE product, right? He was on Stone Cold's WWE podcast. It wasn't Vince going out and doing fucking Busted Open or anything. Like, so he was so engulfed in this world that he created. I thought that the world that he created was going to come down before he leaves it. So I never thought I'd see this day come. So this was a real shocker. Then you got the news about possibly Brock Lesnar walking out. And then we found out that didn't happen. But it's like, I don't know, man. Like, to be honest, not to sound like a dick, going forward, I don't see nothing negative. I see only positives from here, because it's been years that we've been saying that Vince McMahon needs to step away because creative, everything's just been stagnant. It's been the same old shit for like the last decade and a half. So I see nothing but positives, especially with Triple H as the EVP, and to know, like, during the glory days, the NXT Golden Black days, what he was able to do and what he was able to create. He took a developmental product and created a product out of it that was better most of the time than the main roster. And then that's just the TV show. The fucking pay-per-views, TakeOver, always better than every WWE pay-per-view. Always. Whenever they had that weekend of... What's up, Amy?
Hola, Amy. How are you, Amy?
Every time you had those weekends where you had TakeOver before the WWE pay-per-view, everybody on the main roster knew that they were going to have to try to outdo TakeOver. And that was the developmental. That's what Triple H created. So I'm very excited to see what he does now with the main roster. Bruce Pritchard, him sticking around, I don't think that's going to last long. Like I just said, it seemed like he had issues with Stephanie in the past, and that was Vince McMahon's right-hand guy. I take it to like a sports team. Whenever you get the new coach, every time they get a new coach or a manager – usually the last regime all goes with the coach that leaves, right? You usually get, like, say, for example, baseball. When the Mets got a new coach, they got a new bench coach, a new pitching coach, a new, like, it wasn't just, it was the whole regime that went. So all the Vince McMahon guys, the Kevin Dunns, the Bruce Pritchards, I don't think that they're here for long. You know, I heard rumors a while ago, like I'm talking a couple years ago, that Vince McMahon was scared to give the company to Triple H because he knew that Kevin Dunn would lose a job out of it. And Vince was loyal to Kevin Dunn. So I don't see Kevin Dunn lasting long. Come on, exactly, right? So I don't see
Kevin Dunn. I like Chris last... better, so there's that.
Right? I don't think that Kevin Dunn lasts long. I don't think that Bruce Pritchard lasts long. And who I would like to see that, like Dom said, I would like to see Paul Heyman. AJ Styles is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, but, I mean, suck it me up. Too. Like, the Good Brothers are doing great without WWE. You don't need them to come back. I know that whole controversy, oh, you should have stepped up for them. Fuck that. You know what I mean? I love AJ Styles, but look, Paul Heyman right now I think would be the best person for that job. We saw what he did with SmackDown back in the day, right? Mm-hmm. The SmackDown 7 and all that, right? But even recently, we saw what he did pre-pandemic and during the pandemic. Yeah. Like, he was able to book compelling television for Raw. So I think that that would be perfect to have him come back. And then let's bring back some of those NXT names, like the people that were behind the scenes. Like, bring up Jeremy Borash for work on Raw and SmackDown. Bring back Gabe Sapolsky. Yeah. Like, I would love that. I would love that.
You know who I want to see would bring back? Brian Gortz.
Brian Gortz is underrated.
He's underrated. Sure. Yeah. I know he's working for The Rock.
He's working for The Rock, yeah.
Yeah, he's, you know, and it's amazing
He's probably like, fuck that, though. I'm working for The Rock. I got it made. Like, why would I go back to that headache?
Yeah, he's got it made. He's got it made. I mean, shit.
I mean, he's a little busier when the X comes back, but I think it's a great job. I don't know if he'd want to come to WWE. Sure.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. So like, it was...
I'm with the real tribal chief. What do I need the WWE for?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, if I haven't made again with The Rock, hey, if I haven't made and I'm working for The Rock, I think that's a lot better job right now than going back to WWE.
You know, if Devin was here, you saying that he'll be.
What the hell did you just say?
I'll say it to him, bud. That's why they call me psycho.
Oh, man. But, you know, who would you put to take over Kevin Dunn's position? Who exactly? I mean, that's the biggest question. Because, I mean, as much as we dislike Kevin Dunn in certain aspects of the areas of what he has done, however, though, we got to praise him at the same time. He's done, I don't know if he's the genius behind of these, you know, these promo videos. I don't know if he is, but I got to give him the credit for that. But sometimes there's out of touch. So, you know, let's see. To me, not too much. It's changing, maybe some changes, but not. No, I mean, is it going to take its time?
It's going to be a slow thing.
Yeah. Is it going to be a slow thing? It's going to be overnight, but at the same time, the possibilities right now are endless.
Yes.
Before, you always had the big man to answer to. Now, you have a whole nother regime, and you know, it's a lot, you know, not what? To like, I guess, like age shame people, but it's a lot younger regime too. A regime that could have the finger on the pulse of today's mindsets and today's youth instead of a 77-year-old guy trying to be hip and pop culture. It's not gonna happen.
I can't quite remember if he still works there, but is Abyss working backstage for WWE still?
Yes, he's still a producer.
I'd put him in Kevin Dunn's spot. Because Abyss came a lot of the stuff at the original, you know, for his own character and for when he started out and that thing. And that stuff was amazing.
That early Abyss character was awesome.
Yeah, even like early Decay with Crazy Rosemary back when she was a literal demon. Like
when they had Marilyn Manson on the theme.
Yeah, out from Manson and everything. Like a lot of that was created from the mind of Abyss. So, it, you know, even the Monster's Ball was his idea, which is kind of a dope match. So, I mean, if you're going to get Kevin Dunn, I'm not saying I hate. Like, Bruce Pritchard tomorrow. Kevin Dunn, maybe you can. There's a little for you. If you would, I kind of feel like this would be in that role. Especially if, like you said, bring Jeremy Borash up to work in WWE, like those two working together.
Yeah. Oh my God, man. Honestly, they've made impact, right? To be honest. The old school days.
Right. Yes.
We live, baby. Yes.
Kofi, Dirty Hills Podcast.
I miss that.
What's going on, Temple? What's going on, brother?
What's up, Underground? I missed the Kofi. Honestly, I missed the Kofi comment. I would show up for just that, to be honest. I'm sorry. Oh, man. Well, yeah, the two of them working together, Jesus Christ, that would be, I mean,
you know, hardly
fun, but phenomenal.
Hell yeah. Shit, no, but you know what? I think they could do it for NXT, in my opinion. I think they can really do that for 2.0. Like, let's say if you know, I'm assuming they're going to keep it the same. I don't see no changes in 2.0. Everything will be the same. The only thing I would see is just the stars have been there for quite some time and move it to the main roster. Io Shirai, move her up. Bring Legado de Fantasma, move them up. I think it's time to bring them up as well. Bron Breakker's not ready yet. Give him a little more time. He needs more time. He's getting there. Roderick Strong, bring him up. He's been there for so long. Who else could we say that's been there for quite some time? I mean, those are the ones that I can recall. I mean, if you want to bring Mandy Rose with, you know, with the rest of, you know, with Gigi Dolan and I forgot the other person's name.
But if you want to bring him up. Yeah.
Yeah, Toxic Attraction. You want to bring him, that's fine. You need that in the women's roster anyways. Yeah. And start developing your own women's, you know.
I have forgot to say this on my team because we were so much. If you look like on is rated TV-14, so Toxic Attraction would fit right in.
Absolutely.
For all the upcoming, it's perfect time to move them. And like that, I think maybe these NXT call-ups from the past that you just have kind of sitting around doing nothing, back to the forefront of WWE. That would help build up your roster and create a lot of stories. Like, I don't care if it's Bobby Roode. I don't care if it's making Shinsuke again. I don't care.
And also reverse these stupid ass name changes, because fuck Butch, make him Pete Dunne again, please.
Thank you, please. Please.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
That is, but he's open. I'm going to say that right now.
you were cutting out a little bit.
Oh, I would say, I don't know who this Butch guy is, but he's no Pete Dunne. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, is no Pete Dunne at all.
And I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Gunther, but I like Walter.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of the same guy. I'm okay with that, but like Butch is completely different.
Yeah.
Can we give Raquel back Dallas? Because it's different.
But I'm glad you brought up the TV-14 thing, because it's interesting, because I didn't know that this was talked about, like Vince retiring for. Like last week, he was mentioning this, and it was like to the family, but it didn't come out yet, because this tells me that whole thing about TV-14 coming soon and we were supposed to get it but not getting it was because Vince McMahon was contemplating retirement, because it was supposed to be last week. Now it's, we don't know when it's going to be. I can see that being a Vince McMahon thing, and I can see Triple H and Stephanie wanting to go TV-14 going forward. So I think that, you know, maybe that's why we didn't get it right away this past Monday.
Mm-hmm. No, the first wind I caught of it was when you go to when Peacock and you look up SummerSlam, it's TV-14.
Yeah.
Oh, and that reminds me, I'm sorry, I got to do a cheap pop real quick because I love these guys. And I've got information. I'm not, but next Thursday goes SummerSlam. We've got two humongous announcements. I already know them. I'm not going to tell you. Show up live, find out for your fucking self. Trust me. It's big.
I'll definitely be a part of that live stream.
I'll be there. I'll be there.
Yes, I might even show up on that live stream. I'm here, aren't I?
Absolutely. Now, here's the biggest question for all of you guys. Oh, here we see. Name changes are smart, like Dunn, Grizzled Young Veterans, etc. Wouldn't work in the current product. No character equals don't care.
Oh, God.
Let me see Black and Gold for sure, but I care more about Butch than Pete Dunn. Oh, my God. Anthony, I don't know.
Anthony, don't get me started on Grizzly Young's veterans, man. Jesus fucking
Christ. No.
I kind of went off on a rant about Grizzly Young vets last night.
No. What are you thinking? And put him with Doc Wyatt, no less. He's not even his dollar store Bray Wyatt. Wish would be an upgrade.
Look.
Fuck that.
I get because, you know, I do listen to, you know, I do watch and then I listen to the Raw Rundown on Turnbuckle Tavern with Anthony being the host, which is doing a fantastic job, by the way, Anthony. You're watching this, obviously. You're doing an incredible job as a host. You're killing it, my brother. Congratulations on what you're doing, man. I'm very happy. But this is debatable, Mr. Young Hollywood. I know this is your cup of tea. And, of course, you want something different. You want something, the name, you care about the name Butch because it gives you the curiosity. What's Butch? What is the meaning of Butch? Who is this Butch guy? It's like we could go back into the 80s pretty much. Like, you know.
Or is it just he looking for he can license money off?
No, it's a double-edged sword for me, man. As fans that, you know, speaking for ourselves, we grew up, you know, with, obviously, we care more about the wrestling than the character itself. The wrestling developed the character because there has to be a meaning to it. Like, what I mean is, okay, you're Butch. So if you're Butch, you're a character. What tells me about you in the ring? I care about more the ring what you do than your character than the character. Don't get me wrong. The character does supposed to sell us to us fans to get us intrigued to buy a ticket to sit our asses on the seats to watch these characters. However, though, it's professional wrestling.
Yes.
We care about also the professional wrestling itself, not just the character.
I'm an old guy. I've seen some really goofy characters in coming up in pro wrestling, but over that, if somebody was tremendous in the ring, like Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, for instance, he was a very tremendous wrestler. And at a point in WWE, they had him coming out with the dragon mask on and blowing fire and this corny shit. And it fit his character, but like, who gives a shit? Because look at what he can do in a ring. Like, I'm fine with time wrestling is about wrestling, and if you can do that, it makes up for every fucking thing else.
I mean, to be honest, like, even so, what Anthony's saying right now, like, I like the character that Butch has. I just don't know why he had to change his name from Pete Dunne to Butch. Why can't he have that same character with Sheamus and be the Wild Man as Pete Dunne?
That's true. I agree.
He just kind of reminds me of an angry chihuahua at this point, and that's so beneath Pete Dunne. And I see what you're typing underground. I know they're from your neck of the woods, and I love these guys. I don't want to say these things about these guys, but this is what they're showing me. Like, it's not their fault. This is just the product that's put on TV. You know, like, I'm okay with Gunther because we know he's still Walter. Look at him. If anything, he's Walter. He's swole. That's even scarier because he was scary enough when he was old school Walter and he was a little dumpy, but now that he's got like an 8-pack and pecs and steps, you're like, I don't want to see this guy in real life. No, like this is Michael Myers walking to the ring. He doesn't need all that bullshit that The Undertaker did to scare the hell out of you. He just needs to be cut. Like, I'm fine with that, but then
He looked like a big baby, I'd still be scared of him. He fucking sounds like a motherfucker. Like,
now I'm even more terrified. But when it comes to done, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. This is a man who was the longest reigning United Kingdom champion of all time. Destroyed everyone that stepped in his path. And when he came to NXT, that first match, Walter, when he lost his title finally, was tremendous. It was match of the year. This dude was ready when he walked in the door on American soil. And then when you finally call him up, you put a hat over his man bun, just name him Angry Chihuahua. Why? This is Bearcat II.
I don't think a 30 plus year old man wants to see sports entertainment. We want to see professional wrestling.
That's
me. I mean, it all comes down to what people watches it for. Like, there's a lot of people that watch it for more of the characters. Like, for example, like when I watch wrestling with my girl, like she could care less about the wrestling in ring. Like, she likes to see the characters and she likes to see, like, you know, the comedy and all the other shit in it. Like, when it's bell rings, it's like that's when she like zones out. Me, like, when the bell rings, that's when I'm like in tune. So it's like it all depends on what you're watching for. So I think that it's just like, so who's its own?
It really depends on the character that you're presenting, is what I'm getting at. Like, when go to NXT Black and Gold and go to Karrion Kross with the black and white and the smoke and music, character amazing. Then the Raw roster, and Scarlett went away and the gimp gear came in and he looked like the fourth member of Demolition. That was fucking depressing. I know Ivan just interviewed him, so I'm using him as an example. I love Killer Kross, and that whole Karrion gimmick in NXT was amazing. He was like Undertaker 2.0, and I mean that in the best of ways, because Scarlett was a lot better looking than Paul Bearer, by the way. Just obvious moment of the night. That shit was over. That was on fire. And then they completely changed it and jobbed him out on night one. And it was like, okay, where are we going with this?
Yeah.
No, and I feel like we're going there with Pete Dunne now, too.
You think it's off topic, but
a little bit. I'm sorry. I'm good at that.
It's all good, though. But the thing is, okay, you're saying they got Ciampa because Vince didn't see anything in Ciampa. What was he going to do with Ciampa? He was not using him. So now that Hunter knows, he knows Ciampa at his best.
Oh, yeah.
It's Hunter now, which we're going to get into that next topic, which is basically the next topic is what is the expectations from Triple H as the EVP of talent relations? What is the expectations that not only just us, but would you feel that could give to the fans again, or what he could deliver? This is the whole different era, mind you. You know, the black and gold is done. There's 2.0 currently right now. That's the new era right now.
Yeah, they're not going to go back.
It's not gonna go back, which I accept that. But at least take the what I mentioned earlier, those talents, and put them into your main roster to develop the new era of WWE in Raw and SmackDown. So
it's kind of what I expect over time. Is like I can gold, but I feel like Triple H could take that standard, that blueprint, and use the roster these 2.0 and come to that.
Yeah.
Maybe you give it more independent, free-going feel in SmackDown like you had in the days of Black and Gold. I don't know if it's a realistic expectation, but for me, I feel like it kind of is. You know, there's nobody there to tell him not to do it. Simple as that. There's no Vince to complain that his takeover was better than SummerSlam or something like that anymore. Mm. It's all on him. But I think just super realistic expectation is like to basically take up that we know and just infuse some life in it and stop poisoning it on a weekly fucking basis.
Yeah, I think
because we know that's what he loves to do. I'm just saying.
Yeah, he likes to poison his own product, just like when
he said it himself. Exactly.
I mean, what I expect is just one clear vision, because for years it felt like NXT and WWE was two different companies. It didn't even feel like it was fuck under the same umbrella. It didn't even feel like it was the same company. It was two different visions. That's why we had wrestlers make their name for themselves and have great characters in NXT, and then they come to the main roster, and Vince, this is the first time he's seen them, so he doesn't know what to do with a Pete Dunne or a Walter or a Ciampa, because he probably wasn't even watching, you know? So the thing is, now you have one clear vision. What you create in NXT comes up to the main roster, and that's what it is. It's a promotion, and they'll be able to create something bigger. So I think that's what I'm excited for the most, just having one vision under one company, one umbrella, and not making it feel like, oh, well, the main roster is for the casuals. The NXT is for the diehards. NXT UK is for the real diehards. Like, no, like, let's have one vision of what, you know, you want WWE to be. And I think that's what Triple H could bring.
Yeah.
I feel the same.
Absolutely.
I feel the same. He could bring that to the table. And you know, seeing right now just these comments, of course, I mean, seeing Underground telling Anthony, hey, Triple H creates his kills. Yes, yeah. Bruce Pritchard's still there. Kevin Dunn's on his way out, though, so be surprised with that. And, you know, Anthony's saying a lot of what Triple H creates just wouldn't work on a main roster set, but true, work for a niche audience like NXT, but Vince can't model his product.
Bray Wyatt was a Triple H creation. Wyatt family was a Triple H creation.
The Shield was a Triple H creation. I mean, even go lower than that. You mean to tell me the Glory one doesn't work, but Robert Magnum PI must? Like, I know, but I don't want too much of a debate, but I feel like Triple H's stuff could have probably worked a lot better than Vince's. You mean to tell me Bearcat works better than Keith Lee? Gimp works better than Karrion Kross? Which one of these seems accurate?
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to Cross. The whole, you know, the whole character with Scarlet and the entrance and all that is light years better than him wearing his best 300 mask from that movie and coming out with fucking, right? Yeah, looking like the Gimp from Pulp Fiction.
Let's not forget, Adam had no place on the run. He was a man. Yeah, crickets, exactly. But what the man that dominated NXT could not be anything but a manager in WWE. Really?
When it comes to this, Anthony, there's certain things that will fit to the main roster. And some that didn't. I wouldn't disagree with you on that. Like EC3, you mentioned him as an example.
Well, there were some bad fits. Yeah. I mean, EC3 was kind of a bad fit. Lars Sullivan was definitely a bad fit.
Definitely a bad fit.
Wrong.
Yeah.
There were some. I'm saying there weren't misses. I'm saying there were a lot of call ups. Like they could not. And they, first of all, they missed with Shinsuke Nakamura. How the fuck, if you've ever watched that minutes? Okay.
Yeah.
How? Triple H did.
He did it.
Vince did.
Yeah. And just, you know.
You tell me Shinsuke can't work WWE? Bullshit. It could work anywhere.
Yeah. It
and
could.
It's not because no language barrier or anything. Because when Shinsuke was doing part time shit in Ring of Honor, Shinsuke was the most over guy on that roster. So, and that's an American company.
Not to mention, the man has learned English. He's just playing you. When he does get the opportunity to speak, he says stuff like, no, speak English.
When I met Shinsuke at a meeting in Ring of Honor, we had a full conversation. And that's not even a joke. Like,
how would they not work in the ring?
You can put the
I think we have to circle debate Triple H in the comments. That's the real debate right now.
We got more of a debate in the comments.
We got than we more do on debate the in the comments panel. Here. I don't know.
We got to bring guys on for them.
Or send them the link.
The debate.
Oh, that's a debate between Underground Temple and Anthony. Oh, shit.
I'm leading towards, if we're just, I'm kind of giving it around Temple on points right now. I'm just saying.
Some work, so you didn't think. You need to think from it. Yeah, no, and I do. I'm not disagreeing with that.
I am. I was just about to say, you could put like the misses from Triple H on one hand, fill an entire roster. Vince's misses because EWRX.
But here's the thing, though, too, Anthony. When NXT was hype, all you hear is the main roster fans cheering for NXT. Survivor Series was the same thing. And when these people came over to the main roster, that's what we all expected. But the problem is that Vince did not get his hands on it to develop it where he wanted it to be.
Vince only likes what he could create. That's why during the invasion angle, all the big stars that were there, the Diamond Dallas Pages, the Booker T's, they didn't mean shit because that was not Vince's creation. That's why ECW had to come on and get destroyed because that was not Vince's creation. Vince only likes what he creates. Vince will run wild with a guy he creates that has no talent before he runs wild with a fucking Sting because Vince did not create Sting. You know what I mean? And that's the problem. So,
I mean, Triple honestly, Snitsky got a bigger push than Sting. That's pathetic.
And you know what the shit is? it's very egotistical because the people that are making a name for themselves in NXT is still the WWE. So are you that much of an egomaniac that you still have to destroy what you didn't create when it's still under your umbrella? NXT money still goes into Vince McMahon's pocket, whether he has nothing to do with it. So it's like, why mm-hmm. the fuck would you change what is working under your umbrella? Like, that don't make sense to me.
Right? I mean, look at the ball. You want to talk about Black Gold couldn't get people to Vince that would work for him? Look at the women's side of the bracket. Both champions are from the Black and Gold brand.
We could go down the line. Sasha, Becky.
Becky, Black Charlotte, and Gold. Charlotte, Bailey. Black and Gold. Bailey, Black and Gold.
Asuka.
Asuka,
Bianca Black Belair. And Gold. Like, let's go on. Like, that's all Black and Gold stars that were created in NXT.
How many
and they work? So why would it work for the women and not the men?
Came to...
No, agree with that. I mean,
so Triple H's system worked. Mikey's created. Doesn't matter how it is, he has to make it better. And some making it, picking the glorious one and the Magnum PH on.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna come and do, you know, it's a slow transition. We're gonna have to wait to see the next couple months of where it's gonna develop to, and you know what direction it's gonna head to. I think probably after SummerSlam we will see what will happen after that, because there's gonna be new storylines plotted. A lot of things are gonna be coming up. We have to wait and see.
You gotta finish out what that's already been written for the next review.
Let's happen. Yeah. We've got a pay-per-view in 8 weeks. So it's going to take a minute. Not to mention the injury, you know, you name it. But it's going to take a minute for them to start truly making, you know, for Steph and for Nick Khan and for Triple H to really make a dent.
This is the debate between these guys. Are going
All right, hold on. What did Temple say? He said WWE Creative is the worst it's been for at least 10 years. And then... Anthony said, Temple, the creative has been far worse than how... I agree, because Wrestling DeLorean Podcast, we go back in time, and I'll tell you this right now, 1995 Raw, I wanted to fucking shoot myself. Like, I was like, why the fuck do I have this concept? Yes.
I live that.
Yeah, I was like, why do I have this concept? Because I fucking hate doing what I do.
Like, why am I not in the ECW arena right now? Click, turn it on.
Exactly. I'll agree with that. I've seen worse.
I think it was Underground who asked, you know, what are your honest thoughts on the current WWE product? And my honest thoughts, I said them last week on my show, like, since probably WrestleMania this year, I have been watching. Maybe not live, but I can watch, and I'll go through the shows and keep up on SmackDown. I'll go back. I'll watch the pay-per-views. He's the only guy on my podcast that does. And as I'm watching, like, I'm buying things that I enjoy, then the stories and the creatives make a lot of sense. Like, for instance, Ziggler come from? Doesn't this feel backwards to anybody? Like, okay, I get Theory loses to Bobby, then he goes and he pulls the Money in the Bank, but now Dolph Ziggler's fucking with him? Shouldn't it have been the other way around? It makes no sense this way. This is all like, why are we doing this now? And as I said on my show, like, I'm watching you, I want to enjoy you, fucking help me, WWE.
Help me.
Help me, you. Put something out that makes that I can sit and enjoy, so I can come on my show for and say, you know what? I actually the shit out of SmackDown, whatever.
Hmm.
I think they've hit on some things. I think bringing American Nightmare was... Because that could have gone different ways. He could have gone back to dashing, back to being Stardust. But he was the American with his and more pop he ever had in you every time he hit the. That was a choice. Maybe trying to push Theory is saying, like, hey, at least build a star right now. Doing above it, but we're trying. Okay. I want to enjoy you, but you're not making it easy. And I've watched you since 1985. I want to love you. I want to enjoy you. Help me. And maybe Triple H and Stephanie and Nick Khan will. At least there's hope.
I'll tell you this right now. Since WrestleMania, I definitely feel like there's a lot of hope for WWE just for the fact that I feel like this is the first time where they're kind of forced to make a whole bunch of new stars at once. And I like that. I like the fact that Theory is getting pushed because we've been talking about how WWE needs to make new stars, and I like that they're actually attempting to. I think that it was smart. I don't know where they're going with Judgment Day now, but I thought that it was smart to book guys like Damian Priest with Edge because you have, you have the young guy, Damian Priest, who may not get much notoriety, but then you have him paired up with a Hall of Famer. Now people are going to pay attention to him, which is going to build his star power. I like that Matt Riddle was getting a lot of love and definitely getting a bigger push than a lot of people thought he would get on the main roster. So I think since WrestleMania, really, like, a lot of the younger guys are getting more of a push, and I think that that's great that they're trying to build new stars. It's just that sometimes the storylines trying to build these new stars get either repetitive or they're just flat out corny sometimes.
And Judgment Day, one of the very bright spots in WWE with when they were Edge, with kind of leading Damian Priest and then Rhea Ripley. It was like, oh shit, this is the team. And when they were going to add Finn Balor, I thought this just makes it better. This is another guy who kind of caught the shit end of a stick, and Edge is going to guide him and change him and bring him back to maybe Universal Championship level one day. And then all of a sudden, 10 seconds later,
like I said, I'm not even mad at how they, I'm not even mad at Finn Balor kicking out Edge and then Edge trying to get his revenge on Judgment Day. I just think that that shit was rushed because they went into panic mode. Yeah. Man, they could have had that shit play out. They most definitely. They could have had that shit play out over the span of a couple months than rather do Judgment Day like that. Like, they botched that shit from, I don't know, that was like one of the bright spots on WWE, and then all of a sudden it just pulled the rug right from out of you. And we were only like 2 months into the fucking stable. Like, you're already getting rid of the leader. Like, why not play that shit out? Have Finn Balor in the group. Have him, from the inside trying to get rid of Edge. Infiltrate the group. I don't know. I just feel like it was a little rushed. That was the only thing.
It was. Definitely.
No, I watched it. I watched it, Anthony. Yes. No, I get you. Anthony brought up a good amount of points of what he said. I'm trying to remember. Then I have to go back and watch it again because
Yeah. And I saw where you were coming from, but at the same time, it felt like a knee-jerk reaction to Cody going on the shelf.
I took it as WWE going panic mode.
The good thing is for Finn Balor, at least something fresh for him. I think for Edge, I feel kind of rushed. I wish they could have waited a little longer to do that, but it kind of makes sense because with the injuries, what they're going to do with Edge. But they're not even – well, we'll see. We'll see on Raw. He's going to show up this Monday. We'll see what happens and where they go with him, which we don't know. But, I mean, for me, Judgment Day – I'm still waiting because right now, with Rhea Ripley out because she's injured, it's still not complete. So at least it's on a hold. So I'm still waiting to see where it goes.
They're still trying to get Dom to admit that he's a Guerrero, And I do like that because I've been asking for that for year or two.
What I've been asking for,
that's Uncle Eddie's son.
But include Legado del Fantasma. Have them come in. Make fucking Dominic Mysterio to become his own faction. The new LWO 2.0. Mm-hmm. Betraying his father, retiring his father, take away his mask, and say, I'm a Guerrero all along. And there you go. The biggest heel of all time.
That would be young kid. And that would be a far better use for Legado del Fantasma. Them be the lack of FB 2.0.
Not only that, you can add Hector Garza to it, Humberto Carrillo into it, add them into the mix, create your own LWO.
Fuck your kiss cam. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, honestly, like that. Now they have to be. Now they have to work for Tony D'Angelo, who's like little Guido Jr.
Tony D'Angelo.
Oh, get the fuck out of here! Like, Blackade was like when the FBI was doing it. It was a parody, and 90% of the people weren't Italian. When was it acceptable to just put these stereotypical Goombas together in a ring? What decade? Zion, what decade was that acceptable? Maybe at this point, but we're still running with it, and now we got, and now they're literally ordering Legado de Fantasma around.
Yeah, what? I ain't with it.
And I think Tony Triple H, no, he probably put people in place that would work with him at 2.0. Yeah. So that we didn't have the Vince Triple H oil and water mix that we had before it became 2.0. And before Triple H got, you know, sick. Thank God he's, you know, okay now. But
all I know is that Hunter is not going to be in charge of NXT. Someone else is going to take over that position.
Shawn Michaels.
He's going to be, which is Shawn Michaels. Either that's his spot now. He's been doing that spot.
Come here, lazy eye. We got work for you. Look at me. Both eyes. Look at me.
Straight. Not over there. Not over there. Right here. Straight, Deva.
Right here.
It's like crazy eyes from Mr. Deeds.
But see, like, well, fuck.
Jesus Christ. I was not ready for that one. It took a minute to settle in because I've been doing this. It's a little late.
Fuck.
But God. You just broke on camera. Congratulations.
We love you too, Anthony. But it's not over.
Most definitely.
But we got the last topic of the night. Man. And we have to, because as much as we have to, as professional wrestling fans and for the entertainment as well, you know, what are you thankful for Vince McMahon has done for the wrestling community? And he has done a lot for us. He's given us sports he's a pioneer of sports entertainment. He gave us, you know, your Bruno Sammartinos, your Hulk Hogan's, your Steve Austin's, Dwayne Johnson, Macho Man. He gave us all of that. Uh-huh. And yes, and they're going to open the gates. It's just going to take a little transition. Geeked Out Turtle Fan 42.
It's coming. T14 is coming.
It's coming. But
literally next week.
Yes, but just to let the audience know, we are...
The following program is rated TVMAL. It contains...
There you go. We're TVMAL.
They knew that.
We can say whatever the fuck we want.
There you go. That's right.
Fuck all that censor shit. You want PG? You better go watch Nick Jr. This ain't your shit. Disney got you, homie. Get the fuck out.
We're gonna miss Vince McMahon because he's done.
We make movies.
Oh, son of a bitch!
What?
It's me, Austin. It was me all along, Austin.
Take me to the son of a bitch. Take me to him. Come on. Go.
We're going to miss all of that. We're going to miss Vince McMahon.
Aggression.
We are going to miss all of that from Vince McMahon. All of it.
All of it.
We're going to miss all of it. But the one thing I will miss, though, and I will dedicate this to you, Vince, if you're watching or listening, I'm going to miss this special.
I thought I was the only one that remembered that. Homie.
Oh my God.
I have seen that shit in my nightmares. Oh my God.
Oh,
I remember
man.
That live. As a kid. Like, what the fuck am I looking at right now? Isn't this supposed to be wrestling?
One more time.
Yeah. You got all the wrestlers in the background fake playing instruments and shit.
It's terrible. How the fuck did you get that big doing shit like this?
For real. For real. There's moments where it's
Kane
like...
in the 80s was a thing.
Hey, man, I loved it. 80s era, man. That golden era was one of my favorites. And I know that with 2.0 is kind of they want to do the same. You know what the character development kind of want to do the same. You got an Italian mobster guy. You got a body Donna's guys like, you know, like Chris Candido, RIP, you know,
no gimmicks,
like, you know, like with, no, with the diamond mine, you know, with the diamond mine, you have, of course, what else do you have? You got another Wyatt family 2.0 with two druids and reveal themselves. Yeah. You have a skater chick that was like kind of like lead of the Attitude Era with, you know, hey, with the whole tanga showing, you know, that all the way. Well, you have a female version of Dwight the Clown, her just being in pajamas running around and can with stacks and fucking shit. I mean, it's the same thing, just like the golden era. It's the same.
You have Grandma Wendy on NXT. That's what you have.
You have Grandma Wendy.
Watch our show. You will see her in the same outfits, and her name is Wendy.
I firmly believe that Vince McMahon, his favorite era was probably the 80s. That was his vision in wrestling. If it was up to Vince McMahon, that's what it would have stayed. That's why in 95, 96, you had all those stupid gimmicks, the Goon and fucking TL Hopper, all these shits, right? And it was because of WCW kicking their ass in the ratings that they were forced to have Attitude. But if it was Vince McMahon and there was no WCW, we would have had Stand Back for the fucking next 25 years because that's what Vince loved to do. Vince
and I'll say it to the day I die, God bless ECW for that Attitude.
100%. 100%.
God bless him.
I mean, I'll start out with this one. Like, I'm thankful for, you know, Vince McMahon basically creating everything that we see in professional wrestling today. Because here's the thing. After he, you know, just like Anthony said in the comments, like, yeah, he raided the territories and hit big with Hogan and Mania and all that. But every company since WWE went global and went fuck global, just they start out national and then they go global. Every company since then has used that blueprint. They've all used the blueprint of being touring based. They all use the blueprint of trying to get on TV. They all use the blueprint of trying to get on pay-per-view. You know, it started out with the WWE though. So I think that Vince created this blueprint on what we see today. And I really think that if it wasn't for Vince creating that blueprint, we wouldn't have companies like AEW and even going back to like WCW, TNA, companies that are trying to do what Vince McMahon was able to accomplish. So that's the biggest thing I could say. Also a good like runner up is I really did enjoy bra and panties matches. So thank you for that.
I mean, no, I think we all did, you know.
Hell yeah.
My mom would come in, right? This is how young I am. My mom would come in and she would say, when the women fight, you turn the channel. And I was like, damn, like
I cannot believe this shit.
I know, I mean, you were pissed. You know, bah!
I was so glad once I started getting the DVDs, you know what I mean? Because
yeah,
you can't skip that then, you know. So but anyway, now all jokes aside though, like honestly, like I really do appreciate that Vince McMahon created what we all know and love today. And it's something that every company since the WWE made it to where they are at, try to, I guess, use the blueprint. Even if they were trying to be all alternatives. You always hear that. Oh, we're the alternative. Like, for example, AEW, right? We're the alternative to WWE. But you see a lot of sports entertainment that, for example, this past week, fucking, you know, as soon as you saw a cake out there for a celebration, you know, the cake was going in someone's face. That's a WWE style, you know, segment. So it's like,
and a waste of good chocolate cake. I'm just saying.
Facts. Facts. That looked really good too. But anyway,
it looked delicious.
No. So yeah, it's like, no matter whether you want to be the alternative or not, the fundamentals of what you see in any promotion is the blueprint that Vince McMahon created.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like I sound like I'm pissing on Vince's grave and he's not even dead yet. But I am thankful to Vince McMahon for my childhood. I'm thankful to Vince McMahon for taking some pro wrestling and this media frenzy, like something that ESPN, because if you notice, only wrestling company that ESPN even acknowledges. They don't give a shit about anybody else. In fact, a lot of these rumors today, when I saw them, I was like, oh, dirt sheet, dirt sheet, dirt sheet. But when ESPN reported it, I was like, oh, that's legit. Vince is retiring. Holy shit.
They don't even know that anybody else exists. Because I remember when Brody Lee passed away, ESPN, the first thing they put was WWE superstar Luke Harper passes away. And he's been, he was in AEW for almost a year at that point. So it's like,
that's what I thank him for my childhood all the way to the mid 90s, CW, my heart. You, even some of the, and like, whatever it is today with that McMahon, period. You don't have celebrities flocking over wrestling. You don't have, I think somebody mentioned it in the chat, you don't have the Rock and wrestling connection because Vince kind of started that with TV and Cyndi Lauper, you know, Lou Albano, and the list goes on and on and on. You don't have so much in pro wrestling without this man making the norm. And you don't have this kind of competition in a professional wrestling market. He kind of took care of that when he took over because he killed all the territories. But he created some of the fact called WCW with them that allowed TNA that eventually to everybody else, whether ROH, AEW, whatever, because the market was there.
Yeah.
Would not be there without Vince and WWE. So there's a lot I'm thankful for, even though I'm kind of happy to see him go. I mean, eventually it's time. You know, like one nothing of these days forever. I'll probably stop podcasting. I'll be like, yeah, I said all this shit, some funny done, guys. Peace. That ain't today. But eventually everybody runs out of ideas. Nobody could be a genius their whole fucking life. Nobody could be revolutionary or innovative their whole life. Paul Heyman was innovative and revolutionary and now advocate for whoever the fuck. Well, you burn it. There's nothing you got. Most people realize that and kind of back or walk Vince. No, I'm also thankful to Ethan's character, the owner, Stone Cold, because what the hell would Stone Cold Steve Austin be without evil Vince?
That's a fact, 100%. That character is what made Stone Cold.
That whole character. I mean, they just brought that back at WrestleMania for an encore. People went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's how big that was. Stone Cold could barely walk. Vince Man looks like Buff Crypt Keeper and are popping like debut.
Oh, God.
Am I wrong?
No.
I'm not knocking the guy. I'm saying, like, that's just an idea of how Vince could make that impact. Just. I'm going to be the evil asshole owner and I'm going to let one of my employees kick my ass because everybody wants to fuck up their boss. That's brilliant.
Genius. Genius.
Yeah. And people did that before Vince. It's the idea, but he took it and he took it to another level. That's what Vince McMahon does. So I'm thankful for that because without that, nobody's here. Like, wrestling's not where it is today. I don't even know we're here.
Yeah, we're not doing what we're doing if there was no wrestling or WWE. I mean, shit, like,
what would we do without being able to complain about Vince? Have we thought about this one yet? Because it's fresh.
I mean,
I do a lot of it. I know y'all do a lot of it.
Yeah.
What would we do without all the Vince complaints and impressions and, oh, this is such good shit? And what are we going to do without all that?
Hey, I'm still going to use it today in memory of him. So
in loving tribute, yes.
In loving tribute to Vince McMahon.
He didn't pass away, guys. We don't need no loving tributes yet.
No, not yet.
Like, wait until the allegations continue to come out. We're going to be like, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
He did what?
Vince on. Again, it's night.
And I agree. It's like, we got to thank Vince for everything what he's done for us. Like, a lot of things. The Austins, the Takers, the Kings, the Rock, the Triple H's. Mm-hmm. Those were his babies where he created in the Attitude Era. And him, you know, putting himself, his body at risk to entertain us.
And he never asks anybody to do anything he wouldn't do, and that's got to be respected. Honestly,
yes, yes, agreed.
Oh,
yes, yes, he did. That was another one, another great one too, that he created. Yes, yeah. There's so much that Vince has done that. And one thing you mentioned about that, right? That we talk about him.
Damn.
Wait till the dirt sheets. The dirt sheets have nothing to talk to him about at all.
That might be the end of the dirt sheets.
It's going to be the end of the Meltzers, the end of the Alvarez, the end of the, you know.
It was almost the end of me. You want to know how hardcore I am this whole night doing live streams with y'all? I've had a staple stuck in my foot.
Oh, God damn.
The whole damn time, 3-4 hours. I was like, what the fuck is hurting me? My foot is bleeding.
Oh, God.
I didn't even notice till just now. I put my foot
down. You're hardcore. Like,
what the shit?
You're hardcore.
You're hardcore.
That sound? We don't care.
Let's fucking go.
A little blood, whatever.
Hey, yo, what the fuck?
I'll straight walk that shit off.
But, man, that's all I can really think for Vince before, man. I honestly, a lot of people should understand, especially for the new people that are new era, Vince McMahon that has created was pretty much the pioneer of the sports entertainment industry. If it wasn't for him exposing wrestling on a national TV platform around the world, there would not have been a WCW, there would not be an AEW, there would not be an Impact. It will not be a Ring of Honor. Yeah. None of that would have existed. We could go back to the territories.
Even if you look at streaming, like WWE Network came along, right? And then all of a sudden, now everybody, we got Honor Club, Impact Plus, Net World, all of a sudden. First ones.
Vince McMahon has always been the guinea pig to test things out on his product. To see if it worked, and then when it worked, everybody tried to copy, and that's 100% the truth.
Yeah, he ended up building something that was so Teflon that he could pretty much try whatever the fuck he. And if it didn't work out, it was like, oh well, show next week. And if it was like, okay, push it and sell it for $1 billion to Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 30. Yes, 30, we all do. That's what we're opinion. We are opinionators. We're not factual people like what they get. No.
I want to know what Underground Temple's beef is with Sean Ross Sapp, though. I know you have some beef with Sean Ross Sapp.
So, he ain't the only one. That motherfucker.
If I don't like Sean Ross Sapp.
Something
but, like,
believe the opposite. That's all. That's probably so, I mean, the beef. It's the same I don't know you as knows. Well, Underground, but I'm thinking that's it. Because every time I see, because Sean Ross Sapp was one of the first people reporting Brock left. And he said, if Vince is out, I'm out.
MJF left and he's got on a flight. Like,
And what? I really was, because that was one that didn't come through ESPN. And I was okay. And somebody in my live chat put it up. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And we did. And not an hour later, because you guys were there, here's the end of SmackDown. Here's Brock Lesnar. I'm like, motherfucking Sean Ross Sapp, man.
This fuck struck again.
I don't think this man would. I don't think so either. I think he went till he is gone, and then Stephanie, God forbid, I'm not saying that now, but Stephanie will be the one inducting him once he's gone.
But he said to Steph and Triple H, like, he doesn't want to be inducted until after he's gone.
Yeah.
Can I just say something? If you guys watch SmackDown, what the fuck was wrong with that Boston crowd? Because Stephanie comes out and says, my father, he retired today. God. And that crowd booed. I'm like, whoa, there's a lot of Vinnie Mac fans up in that crowd because they're like, boo. Like, everybody.
Austin was
years.
Like, we stayed there.
Yeah. Like, people were, like, genuinely sad. Like, for years, we all complained that Vince needs to step down. All of a sudden, he steps down and we're all going to cry about it? Like, fuck out of here.
That was a little weird.
Man, like I said, Vince McMahon should have been Ric Flair as a final opponent. Let them, you know, go talk about retirement together. Fuck out. Let them go bleed together. Like, fuck out of here with that shit.
Oh man, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. thank you for tuning in for this 1 hour special episode. We just wanted to go ahead and talk about this, man. Chuba, hey pal.
Let's go Bull Viagra.
Oh my god. If we do see that happen, you? Hey,
what, no gummies? He's old. He's gonna lose his teeth. He needs them gummies.
Oh yeah, this will be like
such good shit.
It is good shit.
It was so perfect because he was doing this.
Yeah. He's chewing on a fucking
oh man. What was it, a paralegal under there?
No, by then she was with Johnny Ace.
Oh man. This might get taken down from YouTube.
We won't get demonetized, no.
We already said we were TVMA. They know.
Yes, you already said we're TVMA. Oh no, because no,
but this shit screams, you better not bring your kids.
To this day. To this day.
To this day. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in here on this special report here. Special debate here on Circle Debate. I want to go ahead and thank me, Armando, Dom, the D-O-M of podcasting. Make sure you subscribe to Top Rope Wrestle Talk. Make sure you follow them because tomorrow they will be going to watch along live for Ring of Honor, Death by Dishonor. Make sure you tune in. Description is right below where you can click on their link tree where you can go ahead and subscribe. And do that now because they're going to have an incredible watch along, which I'm looking
forward to. Don't miss it.
Yes, I'm looking forward to seeing.
It's going to be at least Grandma and I, maybe some guests, just sit back reacting to Death Before Dishonor, enjoying what should be a tremendous show with nothing but damn title matches on it. It's, yes, this is a pay-per-view.
The card is stacked.
It really is. I can't wait. I can't wait. Maybe we'll even get the announcement that ROH has found a home. I'm just, please.
One can only hope, right?
Please.
He needs some food. Yes, he does. Yes, don't forget. So make sure you subscribe to Top Rope Wrestling Talk, ladies and gentlemen. Follow them all over the social media platforms, especially the number one on Instagram, of course. Is the, of course,
award-winning.
Award-winning. And
apparently
the
we're getting two because I give us a League Award Instagram handle after PWI gave us worst. So, goddamn, that IG is popular.
It is popular. So it's underscore top underscore rope.
Top underscore rope underscore wrestling underscore talk.
Yeah. Don't add no extra underscores in there.
He put an extra one. I already got one.
Wonderful.
How many underscores I need, homie?
I love it. Hey, we have so many.
Makes one of us.
Oh man, and also do not forget to subscribe to the Wrestling DeLorean podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, and here announcing as well, like we announced in the Top Rope, we're announcing it here for everybody that is listening here that the Wrestling DeLorean will be part of the Circle Debate YouTube channel. We should be catching Mr. De Niro not just on audio platforms all over, but also here on the YouTube channel. Him live. He'll be digressing. He'll be just letting it all out. He's going to just, man, he's just going to go off.
Yeah.
And
he's gonna be more raw than Monday night.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Sometimes I get off. I mean, I'll tell you what, there's fucking podcasts where I'm ranting and people come in and like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm just talking
shit. You
too, huh?
You
know what I mean?
Yes. Because, I'm a wife. All right.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Yes, he will tell you that. He will want to digressing because he will definitely let you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, but ladies and gentlemen, of course, once again, we appreciate you all for tuning in. And if you're a new subscriber, subscribe. New viewer, subscribe to all here in the League of Extraordinary podcast. And much love to everyone. Oh, yes. Catch it for the art. Yes. Awesome. Thank you, Underground Temple. Appreciate
you. See
you
tomorrow, bro. Top Rope.
Appreciate you,
Top
bro.
Jump on over there, Top Rope. They'll be doing a watch along live. I'm excited to. So make
and
sure.
You guys are on. I love doing this every time. So thank you for putting up with me.
Oh, don't worry.
Nah, man. It's always a pleasure working with you, bro.
Yes, you know we
likewise,
love you,
homies.
You already you too, know. Man. You already know because you know you gotta you
give
know
me what I want.
Yeah,
gotta give them that. Yes,
got to give the people what they want.
30 heels at once.
Yep.
So once again, here at the League of Extraordinary Podcast, the Rest of the DeLorean, the Top Rope Wrestle Talk, Circle of the Main, we don't just podcast. We make. Don Callis, can you please say it, please?
Over. Will.
Over and over.
Make.
Over and over.
History.
Over and over and over and over.